You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Sean Quinn, Rory Delaghi and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Carlisle and Southwell in the afternoon. No racing from Wincanton, unfortunately. That meeting abandoned, but still two meetings to go at during the afternoon. And we've got Chelmsford City in the evening as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Mark. Very well indeed.
Good man. Unfortunately, the weather is playing a bit of a part, bit of havoc, really. We've lost some of the meetings this week as well, and the ground at Cheltenham looks, it's soft at the moment.
Mm.
There is a bit of a dry forecast, though, so...
Yeah, it's playing havoc with my footwear as well. I had a bit of an incident this morning when I stepped in a puddle and the old Rhythm and Blues got soaked, and my umbrella got blown inside out, and I had to throw that in the bin. So what a great start.
Yeah, so
not good from my point of view either.
Luckily you're safely in the studio now, though, so
yeah,
nothing else.
I'm thawing out nicely. My socks are still a bit damp though.
Right. Oh, nobody wants soggy socks.
No, not at all. I used to work with a bloke that used to take his socks off when they got wet and stick them on the radiator. He used to walk in bare feet and his socks were on the radiator.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well done, that man.
The defying sight.
Let's have a chat about some of the races, Andy. As we record this, we've heard the news that Annie Power has been supplemented for the Champion Hurdle. We expected as much. Does it affect your opinion in much of a way?
No, because I fancy her anyway.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time, wasn't it, before she got entered into the fray. It was probably the worst kept secret in racing, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's always going to be inevitable. And I think she'll get nicely punted as well from here on in. Now a lot of the gathering throng will want to sort of get with the Mullins' horses on the first day. And you know, she's the marquee horse in the race, where a lot of these are much of a muchness and you don't really see them as Champion Hurdle horses, or couldn't have done throughout the course of the season with Fahine in there. He's more than a capable replacement. It's almost like Barcelona having Iniesta in the heart of midfield, taking him off and bringing on Xavi. What a replacement.
Yeah.
Like for like. So Annie Power 2-1 for me is a decent price.
All right, 2-1 at the top of the betting. Nichols Canyon, another Willie Mullins runner, 11-2. 6-1 Identity Thief. The new one, 13-2. It's 10s for My 10s Are Yours. And 16-1 are bigger prices for the others. Is there an each way angle in there? Would Nichols Canyon be the most likely each way?
Yeah, he looks the obvious one. I mean, he's second favourite, but I mean, he's a great one winner 5 times over. He won't mind the conditions. I think conditions are now going to dry out from here on in. I think we've had the last of the bad weather. And other than just one bad run on his CV, which came off the back of a hard race against Identity Thief, which he beat, he looks the logical choice. And he might make the running. We haven't discussed about tactics in this race, but Camping Ground might make the running. But if he doesn't, Nichols Canyon, I presume, when he beat Fahine, of course, early on in the season in the Morgiana, did it by seeing it out from the front. So, you know, that looks the way to go with him.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't disagree there. While we're on the subject of Willie Mullins' runners as well, you were saying that people will be backing him for the first day, his runners for the first day, hoping to get off to a flying start to the festival. It's a case of which Willie Mullins' runner do you back in the Supreme? Because Min's been quite weak. There's been talk that Ruby Walsh might, in fact, ride York Hill instead.
No. I think a lot of this is social media.
We get whispers like this just before
you do,
the festival.
Yeah, and the punters get their wind put up and really by... What one person's only going to put it out just being, just playing devil's advocate and having a bit of a cheeky little text to say, oh, you know, I've heard that this is a non-run or whatever. And when the market's so sensitive nowadays, you know, you end up getting a much better price just by putting something out on a social media platform and everybody sort of like following suit when it's totally unnecessary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not subscribing to that myself.
Right, I might try test it. Get on social media and say Min has worked like a dog. Wait for it to drift and then pile in.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got that much influence, to be fair. But anyway,
easily done though, isn't it? Nowadays, you think about it, you know, because there's so much speculation and hype going up to Cheltenham. It's something that a lot of the people that look at social media and all bookmakers have got them now. People that sort of like spend ages looking at kind of all the things that go around on Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if they get wind of something that they can back up or verify, it, like I say, it doesn't affect the markets. And I just think sometimes it is a bit of scaremongering.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Scaremongering as well in terms of running away from horses. I want to talk about that next. Lamy Serge was pretty much third favourite for the Arkle. It seems everybody wants to run away from Duvan, and it looks like he's going to go for the JLT now, even though the owners have already got Bristol Demai in the lineup there, who heads the market. So,
it seems
an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, it seems a strange one to me. Mm. I mean, Simon here said in the paper that, you know, he wants to run his horses in the race where they've got the best chance of winning. So even if he's got a horse in the shape of Bristol Demai as having a leading chance, he also sees Lamy Serge as having equally good chance as well. So he's running them both on their merits in the race that he thinks they both suit. Lamy Serge was disappointing last time out at Warwick over 2 miles. He looks as though he wants further.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably wouldn't have any chance of beating Duvan. So you could see that to a small degree while they're running the JLT. But I don't think he's good enough anyway myself personally to beat Bristol Demai, let alone one or two of the other horses in that race like Outlander. And maybe Gardwick Victoire if he jumps ship as well from the Arkle.
Anything else on your mind for the festival, Andy, before we get stuck into Thursday's action?
No, not really, no. I don't think we've had any other news today, have we? Other than what the ground's now like. And I don't think we've got any more updates on any significant betting manoeuvres.
No. Let's move on. Let's get stuck into Thursday's action. Andy's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, four races, as promised. We're going to start at Carlisle in there, 3 or 5. This one is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've got a field of 6 here, Andy. And I suppose we could start with Pistol here down at the bottom of the weights there. Arrives here chasing the hat-trick.
He does. The only problem is he's chasing it. Now he's stepping up in trip. He looks an improved performer, one that Connections have done incredibly well with. And he likes it, obviously, here at Carlisle. Both his two victories have come over the course. But they've been over 2 miles and 2 mile 3, respectively. Now, whether he's got the kind of stamina to see off some very strong stayers here, he's very much open to question. And I personally think he might come unstuck here in this much better race. I'd probably go with Isaac's Town Dad. He looks the solid one. He's run consistently well all season long. He was obviously very well fancied when he came here early in the season, but he fell early on. But since then, he hasn't looked back. He won at Haydock, staying on very strongly that day. And even though he's been beaten on his last two starts, they've been in really good handicaps, Class 2 handicaps as well, behind Flintham and Mr. Moonshine. We know he goes on the ground. And he's one of the horses in the race, because of his consistency, guaranteed to run his race. There has to be some buts about the likes of Cloudy Copper from a yard struggling for form. Geoffrey Chambertin, what kind of mood he's going to turn up in, who knows. Knockahander's got the visor on for the first time. That might just spark him into like, and he does run well here, but he's been in woeful form through the majority of the last couple of years. He's got more letters in front of his name than numbers. And Spanish Fleet has also got to rely on the blinkers working first time for him. So process elimination and, 24 hours ahead, I can only really put it one with any degree of confidence.
And that's Isaac's Town Lad.
It is indeed.
Yep, fair enough. Isaac's Town Lad then for Andy in the 3 or 5 at Carlisle. To Southwell next for the 4.25. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 5 furlongs, 8 of them in the lineup here, Andy. Which of the sprinters do you like here?
Well, I usually look for a low draw at Southwell on the sprint track. I think there's a big advantage to be drawn middle to far side. And the one I quite like here is Sir Billy Wright, who obviously is owned by John Babb and the Shropshire Wolves, and he's been a bit of a money spinner for Connections in the last year or so. He clearly likes it here at Southall. He hasn't run a bad race in 3 runs. He goes really well on the straight track. He just got nutted by Crossfire here in January, but that was off the back of a 3-month layoff, and Crossfire, of course, at the time was rock hard fit, having running week in, week out, so there's no disgrace in that. He was well punted the next day, but I always get the feeling he's just slightly better on a straight track, the likes of Foss-Lass, and of course here at Southall suit him really well on that deeper surface. And the likes of Clubland and Addictive Dream just about got the better of him. However, he didn't run badly. He did finish third, and that was another good run on top of all his previously good runs at the track. I presume he'll be well backed again. Crossfire looks the obvious danger because he ties in with Sir Billy Wright. Fine and Dandy, he'd be a bit. He could be dangerous if he could run to his form three starts back when he won over the course and distance. His two subsequent runs have been slightly disappointing, but they have been away from Southall. Unfortunately, he's drawn stall eight, which slightly puts me off him. If he was drawn 1-2-3, I would have had a serious look at him at a bigger price. But without seeing the prices in front of me, if he could get an each-way price about Sir Billy, probably highly unlikely, but he would be the choice.
So Billy Wright, the choice then in that race at Southwell. We're going to take in a couple from Chelmsford City next, starting in the 6.50. This one is a Class 3 handicap over a mile, a field of 8 to go to post here. And it's quite a competitive race, Sunday.
Yeah, another good shape to it, Mark, isn't it? The dead 8 runners, nice each-way betting race for punters to have a go at. I presume it'll be sort of 3-4-1 the field. I'm quite keen on Monjour here from the Charlie Wallace stable, horse that used to be with William Haggis. Had his first run for New Connections at Wolverhampton a few weeks back, and it was an eye-catching one as well at that. He wasn't particularly fancied in the market as well. I thought there might have been a bit of a nibble at him with the trainer switch and you know, the new environment perhaps sparking him into life, and that might have resulted in being back, but he was totally opposite. He was 28-1, not a rock cake for him, yet he run beyond his market expectation by finishing third behind Peril. Useful horse trained by Simon Crisford. It was a good time figure race, and given that that was probably a trip short of his best 7 furlongs, now he's stepping back up to a mile over a track which might just suit his run style more, i.e. there's a 3 furlong running rather than 2 furlong running. This big long striding horse might just offer up a bit of value for punters in that race.
Monjour could be a bit of value there in the 6.50. And we finish off in the 7.50 at Chelmsford City. This one is a Class 4 handicap, over a mile and a quarter, 8 of them in the lineup here, Andy. And who would you recommend there?
Yeah, I quite like Kilter Colleen from the Mark Loughlin Lane stable. A horse that I thought got a modest ride the other day by George Baker in a race at Spez Notcha, rather nicked from the front. It wasn't an overly strongly run race, and therefore I think if he would have had this horse a bit closer to the speed, he might have followed up his previous two wins, of course, at Wolverhampton when he came from a long way back, and more importantly when he won here at Chelmsford, and that was the only time that he's visited this track. So he's 1-for-1 here, and in the process he beat Pactolus, of course, who's a course specialist who reopposes. But I think Kilter Colleen, if he's given a more of a positive ride in the hands of Adam Kirby tonight with that positive jockey switch, then he'd be the one for me in that race.
Yeah, Adam Kirby's actually got a very good record on him. He's ridden him 3 times and won twice.
Exactly, so.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's have a quick summary then, Andy, as usual, if you'll spin us through your 4 selections for Thursday.
Yeah, quite like Isaacstown lad at Carlisle. Over at Southall, Sir Billy Wright stands out in that 4.25. Then the two choices at Chelmsford. I like Monjour in the 6.50 and in the 7.50, my final choice. Of the four is Kilter Colleen.
Superb. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Well done. Thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Sean Quinn, Rory DeLaghi and Ollie Pimlott will be in the studio. It's Carlisle and Southwell in the afternoon and Chelmsford City in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.